This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Bookends. Today on Bookends, we have Pip Adam with her book, The New Animals. Morin talked with her last year when it first came out, and she is the winner of the Premier Book Award in Fiction that was awarded last Tuesday night in Auckland. But first, I talk with Rachel Eady from Scorpio Books. Last Tuesday night, the $50,000 Acorn Foundation Fiction Prize in the country's Premier Book Awards was awarded to Pip Adam with her new novel, The New Animals, Victoria University Press. And I've got Rachel on the phone from Scorpio Books. Rachel, you were there.
I was there. It was quite a night. And we celebrated 50 years of the New Zealand Book Awards as well. It started out as the Watties Book Awards.
I remember that.
Yeah, but for the past 3 years, it's been sponsored by Ockham Residential, and they've got the naming rights to it. And they announced on the night as well that they're going to commit to another 5 years of sponsorship, which is just wonderful.
Wonderful. Were you surprised?
So it's a lively suit.
Were you surprised? What was it? Were you surprised at the fiction winner, or did you? Was that the one you were thinking of?
Well, I must admit, I had my hopes pinned on Baby because I loved Baby, absolutely loved it. But I think Pip's really, really deserving, and the judges thought so too. They had some incredible comments. They said it was so vivid in imagery and imagination that they haven't stopped thinking about it since. And it was the book with the most blood on the page, and it would give everyone an electric shock. And I just think that those are incredible comments, and I just take my hat off to Pip, and she was so humble and so surprised as well.
Yes, and Baby got the best first book in the fiction, so that was a sort of nice thing to include her as well.
Oh, that was wonderful. Mm. Yes, she definitely deserved an accolade there, because that was my pick, as I said, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. She did deserve it.
Good. So The New Animals, Morin has done an interview which I'm going to play in the same program as this one with you to next week. So what did you, you know, I don't really know what it's about. It's a parody of the Auckland fashion scene, doesn't it?
It is a parody of the Auckland fashion scene. And I think that what she does really is she gives you an insight into her characters. So that's really what it's about. It's that very vivid vivid take on the characters and the scene and for what it is, and it's raw and it's frank and it's unlike anything else you read, I think I'd probably have to say.
Right. Well, I don't think that's so well known as some of the others, but I think that's going to really put Pip out there, isn't it?
I certainly think it will. Mm. I think this is fantastic for her, and I think that the calibre of writers in New Zealand at the moment is extraordinary, and especially the ones that are coming out of Victoria University Press, and I think that this is just a wonderful accolade for new, exciting writers with a new voice.
I felt when they picked their finalists earlier that they were looking for that, weren't they, the judges?
They were, yes, and I think that that final list it really does show three of the finalists were new authors, one of them being self-published. And I think that it really showed that we're looking for some fresh ideas and a fresh voice in New Zealand fiction.
Now, in the non-fiction, the memoir that listener journalist Diana Wichtel wrote, Driving to Treblinka, The Long Search for a Lost Father, I wasn't surprised at all. That was the one I expected.
Yes, and I think that most people expected that one to win. I think that one won the hearts of everybody, including Scorpio staff. It was a hot favourite to win for us. And I think it really appeals to the public. And I think that she mixes so perfectly her tragic family story with history and the memories of the Holocaust that it really does appeal to people. People are always searching for meaning around that awful time in our history, and I think she does that with ease.
Well, she's a brilliant journalist. I love her articles in The Listener. It's beautifully written, and it's a very important book, I think, to be written too.
And those were almost exactly the words of the judges, that it's not just a beautifully written book, but an important book also.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled for The Listener, and I'm thrilled for Diana Wichtel, and I am thrilled for Awa Press, because they don't often get a winner.
No, it's wonderful for small New Zealand publishers, and they were both just so rad. And she also took out the prize for Best First Book for
the
general non-fiction as well. So two prizes for her on the night.
That's very good. Now, I'm thrilled about Elizabeth Smither, because I've talked to Elizabeth Smither about her poetry collections, it seems, for years and years. And when this one arrived, this latest collection, Night Horse, from AUP, Auckland University Press, I was so excited because I thought Elizabeth had stopped writing poetry to be published, because she really is, she was a most celebrated poet, and a lot of people don't know so much about her now. And I just love her poetry. They're gentle and they're beautifully crafted and they're humorous, and she's just so clever. It's domestic poetry, isn't it?
It is domestic poetry, and you're right, she is so clever, and she has given so much to the writing community in New Zealand. And this is not her first one, actually. This is her third one.
Her third winning one.
For poetry, that's right. It doesn't happen very often. She was the crowd favourite at the awards ceremony, and the crowd erupted when she won.
Good.
And we had been given the pleasure of hearing all of the finalists do their readings, but her one just transformed the room. And I cannot remember the name of the poem. I believe it's The Heartbeats or Beating Heart or something like that.
Yes.
But if you get the chance to pick up this book, collection of poetry, and read it just for that poem, it will be worth it.
That's right. Well, I interviewed her when the book came out, so I've got that to play in about, not next week, but the next week. So that's really good. And
That'd be fantastic.
And then A Traveller in Two Worlds, Bridget Williams, a different publisher again, illustrated non-fiction. Now, I've got that book, and I haven't yet talked to Alison Jones or the other writer whose name is escaping me.
It escapes me as well. Kui Kai Jenkins, I
believe. That's right. Yes, and I've got it sitting there, and so I'll do an interview with one of them very soon. Because
it would be wonderful to listen to.
Yes, because it looks like it's a beautiful looking book, isn't it? It's a hardback, and it's isn't it? I think it's
a hardback. And I tell you what, it's one of those beautiful hardback books that feels fantastic. It's sitting in your hand, that perfect weight, and the illustrations in it are just spectacular. And the judges also said as well that they felt that the text and the illustrations worked in perfect concert together, and I truly believe that it is a magnificent piece of work.
Yes, well, they're both amazing writers and amazing academics, those two, but they make it sound like fiction, I always feel, whatever they write.
Yes, and I haven't read this one myself, but the judges did say that it was written with such amazing empathy, and definitely allowing the reader into a world that we didn't know a lot about. And I think that if people pick this one up and give it a go, I think they will be really surprised how much they enjoy the writing.
Well, Bridget Williams has a habit of doing beautiful books like this, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
She's still there, thank goodness. And
she's
done the little books, which have been a great success. And
the BWB Text, fantastic.
Yes. And I'm thrilled for her to get the winner too. Was there anyone else
fantastic.
In the non-fiction who you especially liked?
In the non-fiction pictorial or in the non-fiction general?
Well, either.
I really thought Tortara by Philip Simpson. That was, I have to say, my favourite and my pick to win. It's a natural and cultural history, and I think that's a spectacular book, and once again, I really enjoy his writing. But I was particularly taken at the awards ceremony by Jonathan West, who, as I said, all the finalists did reading, and The Face of Nature, an Environmental History of the Otago Peninsula, is his book, published by Otago University Press, and although I hadn't taken a lot of interest in the book, after listening to him speak, I cannot wait to pick up that book and read what he's got to say, because if he can speak as well as he can write, if he can write as well as he can speak, I just think that book will be marvellous.
Yes, well, that's on my reading list too. We're a little bit further down, but I do want to talk to him about it.
Yes, I highly recommend him.
Now, the best first books, very quickly, can we just go through those?
Yes, let's briefly go through the first book. So the Herbert Church Best Fiction book was awarded to Baby by Annalise, I think it's Shockhams, published by Victoria University Press. She's a very quiet young girl, but I tell you what, she writes with a really unique, strong voice, and that was an incredible story. So I recommend that one personally.
Yes, we've got that one to play too.
Perfect. And then E.H. McCormick for general non-fiction went to Diana Witchell, as we've said, for The Driving to Treblinka. The Jessie Mackay writing for poetry went to Hannah Mitter for Fully Clothed and So Forgetful.
Isn't that a great title?
It's just fantastic.
Yes, and I talked to her. I hope we've still got it, because it was quite different.
Yes, well, it's great to see some new writer. Well, of course, new writers in there. And the Judith Binney Award for Nonfiction went to Marcus Thomas and Neil Silverwood for their book Caves, Exploring New Zealand's Subterranean Wilderness, and that was published by Wyo Press. And I must admit, it was quite a special moment in the ceremony, because they emerged from the crowd wearing their cavers' helmets with the lights on from the dark, and came up onto stage to receive their award, and that was a fabulous moment in the evening.
Oh, you obviously had a great night, and thank you for all you're doing. And Rachel, do you want to mention, just as we finish, your next launch that's coming up at the end of the month?
Yes, we are launching Dr. Sarah Mackay's book, The Woman's Brain, and that's going to be quite a fabulous event. She's talking about how a woman's brain changes through different stages in her life and and that's going to be quite a fabulous book. And there are some video recordings of her online. I highly recommend having a look at those and seeing what she's got to say. And we'll also be selling books at the Piano on the 30th, the night before Sarah's launch, for Alex Ross's concert. Now, Fergus Barrowman from VUP is in conversation with him at the Auckland Writers' Festival this weekend, and then he'll be coming down here for his concert at the Piano, so check that one out as well.
Rachel, thank you so much, and keep up the good work at Scorpio
Fantastic.
Books.
Thanks, Ruth.
You're listening to Bookends on Plains FM 96.9.
The New Animals is Pip Adams' second novel. She's already had a short story collection published that she won the New Zealand Post Best First Book Award for, and another novel, obviously. Her works appeared in lots of literary journals and anthologies, and in 2012 she received an Arts Foundation of New Zealand New Generation Award. She also facilitates workshops with people affected by crime in prisons and communities, and I hope we'll get time to touch on that towards the end of this. But this new novel I found utterly absorbing, and I think it's really interesting that it's been published round about the time of the New Zealand fashion, whatever they call it, up in Auckland. I've forgotten the name of it, but I'm sure that wasn't meant to be coincidental, but it is a look at a new world. And I was really interested, Pip, because in your first novel, the structure and the language was very carefully worked out because the main character was a structural engineer. So her profession and her experiences with buildings really informed that novel. So how did you go about approaching this particular novel? Because it's about the fashion world to begin with and so quite a different milieu.
Yeah, it was really interesting because it is sort of, it moves around in its perspective as well. And I guess the other novel does that as well. It moves around in perspective. But I guess it's really interesting because I became interested in engineering sort of from a hairdressing point of view, which sounds a bit odd, but hair cutting's often about structures as well. And a lot of the talk that would go on in the engineering classes that I went to really made sense to me as a hairdresser, you know, ideas of vectors and angles and, projection and stuff like that. So I guess in a way there is some of the technicality of hairdressing in the novel, but because not everybody is sort of, you know, like a hairdresser. The language is a little bit looser, perhaps. Yeah, it's a really good observation, actually. I hadn't thought about it before.
Yeah, well, I guess I was looking for it in this novel because the last one was so perfectly calibrated, if you like, if that's engineering word. But yes,
nice.
And I think you'd need, well, you don't need to because a fiction writer can write about anything, but your actual experience of being a hairdresser really makes it far more, comes to life, because I can imagine that people who enjoy hairdressing, it is, it would be utterly absorbing.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the best jobs I've ever had. It's such a fantastic job. Like, it just, it just becomes so magnificently pleasing. Like, it's real, you know, like, I always thought that I was like a, at school, I thought that I was a thinky kind of person, but the minute I started hairdressing, I realised that I'm a really sort of hands-on and kinetic kind of person. Like, I love, you know, I really like, you know, folding paper and cutting things up and all that sort of thing. And then when it came to hairdressing, it's just such a beautiful, meditative kind of job. And also there's high pressure in it as well. And, you know, there's all the interesting kind of sort of philosophical stuff that is kind of fashion, you know, that really, you know, the interesting ideas around fashion as well. And I guess, you know, this book, if I'd known more about making clothes, I guess it would have had a different kind of bent as well. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so Carla and Dewey hairdressers in this, and we kind of start off looking at things more from Carla's point of view, but of course it goes into all the other people's points of view as well. And Sharona to me was a really interesting character because she's in the same 40s age group as Dewey and Carla, as opposed to the young millennials, I suppose you could call them, that are in the book. But I think you showed a really deep understanding of the kind of work that somebody like she does. She's in the workroom. She's got to actually translate into reality these vague ideas that her bosses have.
Yeah. I really love Sharona. I mean, one of my favourite things about her as a character is that she's a mother who's left a child, and
yes.
I find that really interesting, you know, as far as the, you know, what a life looks like when you think you've made a clean break but you haven't. So she really interested me there, and her work really interests me as well, you know, this idea that, you know, I think, yeah, like, I mean, this idea that perhaps, you know, I think a lot of my friends, we sort of wasted a lot of our lives, you know, like we spent a lot of time kind of sifting about, and maybe, I mean, I don't want to talk for all my friends, but I just look around and I think a lot of us are sort of stuck in positions now where we didn't push ourselves as far as we could have, perhaps. And yeah, so I really related to her with that, you know, that there's still enjoyment to be had and there's still work to be had and there's still pride to be had, but then there's just sometimes it isn't exactly how we expected it to come out.
No, indeed. And all those three women and I use women loosely.
Yeah.
you know, they if we're looking at animals, they're kind of trapped and tethered, you used as a word at one stage, talking about somebody. But they do feel trapped. They feel locked into something that they can't break out of. The work, they need to work, they can't work out how they progress from there. And then you contrast them with there's four characters really who are in a different generation and have quite different attitudes and aspirations. And particularly we move from the three women, the mid-40s, hard-working, trapped, in a sense, women, to these drifty, loose, but fashion designers. Tommy, in particular, we get to know him. He thinks he's been born with more want, you say. Than anybody else. That talent really doesn't get you anywhere, but if you want it enough. And yet he's had everything given to him, in a sense.
Yeah, that's the real distinction I see between the two groups of characters. Is like I see it, it's probably quite old-fashioned, but I see it as a real difference in class. You know, like, I mean, there's a story to be had with someone who perhaps is 40 and has had sort of the privileged upbringing that Tommy's had. And I think, you know, the one thing that I think Tommy's going for him is that he has parents that love and appreciate him so very, very much. And I think that was something interesting that someone talked to me about, this generational idea, is that perhaps some of the people that are in their 20s now, some of them are people for the first time ever who've been really loved and appreciated and listened to as children. And I think, you know, there's a difference in, you know, there's a difference in parenting over the years. And I think, you know, I think that that's what really interested me about that, was it was sort of like one of those thought experiments, you know, if you gave someone everything, you know, how would they see the world?
Yeah, what would they make of it?
What would they make make of that opportunity? And the thing is that what they make is commercially very good, you know, and yes. You know, Tommy's father as well, you know, has made a really good bent for himself, you know, and I think that's what I found interesting. And I love how you picked up on that idea of them being tethered, because I think, you know, a lot of us feel like that, you know, like we're working to live, and work becomes our life. And yeah, it's an interesting, and I mean it is, it's sort of quite an old fashioned, almost Marxist idea, you know, like of labour versus
There's a scene in the book where Tommy's on the ferry coming from Devonport back to town. He's called a meeting, and it's really they have no idea what they're doing, but it all sort of it's around a haircut and a t-shirt, really, isn't it? Those are the two pivotal things. But he's looking at people, and again looking at the animal idea, you know, that people are kind at the core of their animal selves and how they communicate with each other on this sort of primal level.
And that's why I'm so interested in fashion as well. You know, this idea of adornment and adaptation of the body, you know, like I guess when we think, when you use those words like primal and animalistic, we're often thinking about things that rest in the body, you know, and I'm really interested, especially when it comes to that T-shirt, you know, the way the shape of a T-shirt can change the way that we look. And, you know, like if we're instinctual as animals and, you know, sight is one of our first senses, you know, like what does that do if we manipulate the body and manipulate the body, the way the body looks? And that was something I was very interested in with fashion, and especially hair cutting, you know, like I remember when we first learned about hairdressing, we would go way back in history, and it's like, why do we adorn our hair? You know, why do we play with this stuff on our head, you know? And I just really liked that idea, that, you know, it is animalistic in some ways. Yeah, exactly like what you said, yeah.
We're going to run out of time, and all my questions are going to go down the Googler. But
I'm sorry.
not you at all. But I want to then just move on, and I thought, because you don't want to ruin things for people when they're reading the book, but then the book changes, and this peripheral character, Elodie, suddenly takes over the narrative.
Yeah.
And she's moving out to become the new animal, the one that they would all need to be. So that's a really interesting twist in the story.
Yeah, I really love her, and I hated. Yeah, I love. I love her, and I love what happens to her. And she's sort of she's at the root of all my interest in bodies and what bodies can do. So yeah, she's very I love Elodie. She is amazing.
Yes, and you haven't been scared to sort of almost identify people, because she has a father in politics. She lives in Parnell. She has a brother who's a DJ. They go to Hawaii for holidays. And the three fashion, the boys, who are dabbling in a sense but doing extraordinarily well, you could sort of almost identify them if you chose to, couldn't you?
Well, yeah. I think the thing is that all of it comes into the mix, if you know what I mean. Like, I spent a lot of time on social media looking at a lot of different designers and a lot of different, shall we say, celebrities. And they all start to muddle up, because no one group of people has everything that you want for a book, you know what I mean? And this is why it's a work of fiction and not a work of sort of memoir, you know. Like, I did steal a bit from here and a bit from there and a bit from there. And, you know, like, I hope, and I think, and sort of make them into something bigger,
Well, that's our time gone. But, Pip, I really enjoyed the new animals, and thank you for such an entertaining and challenging book. The book is called The New Animals by Pip Adam, and it's published by Victoria University Press. And we'll have to talk about your work in the prisons some other time.
Thank you so much, Maureen.
And join us, Maureen Rout and Ruth Todd, next Tuesday on Bookends on Plains FM 96.9.